You're listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Network. Welcome to the PharmD Money Podcast, where certified financial planner Derek Delaney brings financial education and observation to help pharmacists navigate their most important financial questions.
Welcome in PharmD Nation to episode number 102 of the PharmD Money Podcast. Thank you all for joining me today. I am your host, Derek Delaney. And for the next couple podcast episodes, including this one, I am going to do a mini series on a financial topic that I don't think gets talked about a lot and can become extremely confusing if you don't deal with it every day. And that is the planning domain of estate planning. And we could go in 100 different directions when it comes to this, but in the podcast episode today and in future podcasts, we'll kind of expand what we're talking about in the realm of estate planning. But today we're going to talk about what it means to be listed as a trustee in somebody's trust document. Now, I have seen it a handful of times where some people can get extremely overwhelmed and completely caught off guard because they were named as this trusted individual, as the trustee in an estate plan, and most don't know where to start or how to handle it, especially if there is a lot going on inside the trust. So in this podcast episode, we're going to break it down to the basics. We're going to talk about what a trustee actually is and what the duties are of a trustee. And that way, if you find yourself in this situation, you have a better idea of what to do and what to expect. So the first question then is, what is a trustee? And before we answer that, we have to talk about what a trust is. So a trust is a legal document people use in order to organize and facilitate their personal assets after they die. So a lot of people think, well, in order to do this, I need to set up a will. And you're not wrong. Some people set up wills. Other people set up trusts. Trusts are superior, in my opinion, to a will because a trust is private and the administration of that trust is a lot quicker and a lot less expensive on the back end than a will because you get to keep the courts out of it. Where if you have a will, you still have to use that will and it needs to be facilitated in probate and that becomes expensive. So trusts long term are more cost efficient even though it costs a lot more upfront to create than a will. And it's private and it can be administered and the assets in that trust can be distributed to any beneficiaries a lot quicker and a lot smoother than a will. So for whatever reason, somebody sets up a trust and they need to name inside that trust a trustee. And you can name a close family member or a friend. You can name a professional that you trust or you can name a trust company who will facilitate that trust and those assets for you after you pass away. A lot of people, though, because of the size of their estate, they would rather just have a friend or family member listed as a trustee instead of having to spend the money and incurring the ongoing cost of having a trust company step in and fill that role. So what happens is they usually pick a close family member, and more likely than not, if it's an older individual, they choose one of their adult children to serve as a trustee in that role. And this is where it can become a big headache and cause a lot of confusion and stress for that adult child, especially if they're unaware of them being listed in that position and they aren't ready for the duties that come along with it. So a trustee, again, is somebody who is named inside the trust. The trust is a document that holds the assets of the individual. And inside the trust is the wording and direction of how all those assets should be distributed to all the beneficiaries or anybody else or any other entity that the original owner of that money or property wanted their individual monies or properties to go to after they die. And it's up to the trustee to make sure that that happens. So the trustee is a person who acts as a custodian for the assets held within that trust. So if dad or mom had retirement accounts, property, you know, business equipment, whatever, they could put all of those assets and title them into that trust. So when they die, that those assets go to the trust, and then that trust facilitates those assets to beneficiaries. But the trustee is the one who makes sure that those assets get facilitated to the correct beneficiaries within the correct time frame, and they have to make sure that all the rules and regulations are being met. So again, the trustee is a person who acts as the custodian to those assets within the trust. It is the trustee's responsibility to manage and administer those assets that are inside the trust in whatever way the trust language requires it to be done. So the original owner of all that property and money can say, hey, I want these assets to go to Jim, Bob, and Jill, and Mark, you're the trustee, but I don't want Jim to get any of these assets or any of his inheritance until he reaches the age of 35. And I don't want Jill to receive any of her inheritance money until she reaches the age of 40. But until she gets to 40, she can receive any of the income generated from her share of the assets. So then it's the trustee's job to step in and look at that language and go, okay, this is the way it all needs to be administered. Now I have to figure out how to actually make it work so it abides by the rules and guidelines that were set up in the initial trust to begin with. So it's your job to make sure everything runs smoothly and everything is administered the way the original person who set up the trust to begin with wanted it to be. The other thing is you have to realize is you are considered one of the most trusted individuals of the original trust owner. So a lot is going to fall on your shoulders for good reason, and it should be a compliment in my opinion because the person who set up the trust saw enough in you to be able to handle it. And if there are other people involved and there are other siblings or family members that are beneficiaries, you're going to be the one as trustee that's going to have to take a lot of the heat. Because if that trust is set up where these trustees aren't going to get their money right away and there are restrictions involved, it's your fiduciary duty to make sure a lot of that is upheld or all of it is upheld, which is going to cause a lot of consternation and maybe some infighting between those siblings if they don't feel like they're getting their money soon enough, especially if those individuals aren't in great financial situation and they could really use that cash right away or that property right away. So you as the trustee has to stand tall and you have to go, no, I don't care how bad you need it. I don't care what your financial situation looks like. I can't give you this money until these specific guidelines are met. And those guidelines weren't created by me. They were created by the original trust owner, the grantor of the trust, which could be mom and dad or somebody else. And I have to act in their best interest, not in yours. So it is a big responsibility to be a trustee because it can get confusing and there can be a lot of pushback on you based off of how financially needy some of those beneficiaries could be. So, and that goes into the next question, what are the duties of the trustee? And we touched on them a little bit already, but the biggest job is acting in the best interest of the trust as a true fiduciary. So regardless of the outside pressures you get after you fill that trustee role, you have to act in the best interest of the trust. You have to abide by the guidelines, rules, and regulations that were set up in the trust to make sure that the original owner's wishes are carried out the way they wanted to. The other thing is you're going to have to be the person to make sure that the distribution of those assets are done correctly. So that means maybe you have to go and set up accounts at investment companies or talk to insurance providers to make sure everything that was in the trust gets distributed appropriately. You're also the one that is in charge of making those ongoing decisions. You are in charge of the how, the who, and the when as far as people getting paid. And that can be a juggling act, especially when you have competing interests with those other beneficiaries who may not agree with or want to follow the original guidelines in the trust. As a trustee, it's your job to make sure that all tax preparation is done. So you have to make sure that all the forms are filled out correctly and all the filings are done on time. That is a burden on your shoulders as a trustee. And then finally, it's your job as a trustee to continuously communicate with those beneficiaries. So you have to educate them on what's going on. You have to let them know what the guidelines are of the trust, and you have to let them know what they can expect moving forward. And once that expectation is set, you have to continue to communicate and follow up with those other individuals that have financial interests in what's going on to make sure that they don't feel left out or to make sure that they don't feel shorted or slighted in any way. So it is a lot to become a trustee. And that is why if you have an individual who trusts you a lot, if they come to you and they say, hey, I want you to be the trustee of my trust, you need to sit down and have an honest conversation with that individual and with yourself and with maybe other siblings or other individuals who could be a part of that trust as beneficiaries and realistically ask yourself, is this something I want to do? Is this something I can handle? Do I have time for this? Because there's going to be a lot that falls on your shoulders, especially if the trust is a bigger trust and the assets inside the trust are more complex outside of just cash or investment accounts. So if you're a trustee, you need to have a plan. You need to be prepared. And the best way to do that is to have conversations before you actually step into that role, so you're ready to go and other individuals who could have financial interest in the assets inside the trust understand that as well, so they're not as hard on you or they're not as critical of your decisions because you have no choice but to act as a fiduciary to those initial guidelines that were set up in the trust to begin with. So communication before you actually step into that role and planning before you actually step into that role could be very, very beneficial for you long term. If you know you're a trustee and you feel that you're going to be stepping into that role relatively quickly, having a trusted financial professional on your side, working as your true fiduciary who can help you with all those issues, can become completely invaluable. And having that trusted fiduciary advisor could make your life a lot easier. Lucky for you, if you're listening to this podcast, FarmD Financial Planning serves as a trusted fiduciary advisor. So if you're interested in learning how that works and how a partnership with a fiduciary financial planner can work, feel free to visit the website at FarmDFP to learn more about FarmD Financial Planning services and our ability to step in and help you in a situation you may find yourself in that we just reviewed earlier in the podcast. Otherwise, feel free to email podcast@farmdfp.com if you have any questions, concerns, or ideas about topics you'd like to hear later on in the podcast series. Until then, FarmD Nation, happy planning.
The FarmD Money Podcast is not intended to be tax, legal, or investment advice. All opinions expressed on the show are for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon for tax, legal, or investment advice.